This is AgriPulse Daybreak for Friday, December 15th, brought to you by Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative. Good morning, I'm Jeff Nally. Here's today's headlines. Treasury issuing SAF tax credit rules. Thompson says lack of money limits farm bill options, and Vilsack irritated by ERP questions. Now here's an editor's note. Daybreak will be on holiday starting Monday through New Year's Day. We'll return Tuesday, January 2nd. In the meantime, follow developments in ag and food policy at agripulse.com. SAF tax credit rules due out. The Treasury Department is expected today to release long-awaited rules for the new tax credit for sustainable aviation fuel. As we've reported, Treasury is expected to allow use of the Energy Department's GREET model for assessing the carbon intensity of SAF feedstocks. That would be a win for the agriculture sector. Department of Energy has been in the process of updating the GREET model, and it's not yet clear what that will mean for ag feedstocks. You can check agripulse.com for developments. Thompson tries to sell farm groups, Democrats, on farm bill funding. As reported Wednesday, Thompson staff has started briefing stakeholder groups on possible funding sources for the next farm bill that face resistance from Democrats, including reallocation of $14.4 billion in Inflation Reduction Act funding for conservation programs. Thompson also has been meeting with small groups of Democrats in recent weeks to pitch ideas. "We'll keep working on it," he said yesterday when asked about this progress with Democrats. As lawmakers headed home for the holidays, Thompson also told reporters his new target for moving a farm bill is March. Thompson stressed that there's no money available outside of the farm bill to fund increased reference prices and other needs. "We're going to have to really reassign, reprioritize, you know, the dollars that are within our jurisdiction," he said. Vilsack defends ERP allocation. Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack isn't backing down when it comes to the way USDA distributed ad hoc disaster assistance to farmers for 2022 losses. The distribution formula has come under heavy criticism from congressional Republicans for the way it sharply cuts payments to farmers with larger losses. During an interview with AgriPulse newsmakers, Vilsack reiterates that Congress provided funding to cover about 27% of the estimated uncovered losses. Of the 220,000 farmers who are getting ERP payments, about 180,000 are receiving more money than they would have gotten under the formula used in previous years when the emergency relief program was fully funded, Vilsack said. He said and continued, quote, "So if Congress wants to basically ensure full funding, then all they've got to do is appropriate the money for full funding." By the way, Kansas Senator Jerry Moran, a senior Republican on the Senate Appropriations Committee, said lawmakers waiting for USDA to respond to questions about the ERP formula before deciding what steps to take. He told AgriPulse, quote, "The intention was that USDA implement the ERP the same way they did previously." Newsmakers will be available later today at agripulse.com. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak after this.
Daybreak is sponsored by Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative, the third largest dairy co-op in the country. Edge is a powerful advocate of Washington for farmers throughout the upper Midwest. Among Edge's top priorities is milk pricing reform. Over its long history, the federal order system has aimed to serve farmers by ensuring the orderly marketing of fluid milk. But changing production and consumption patterns are rendering the system ineffective. Edge envisions changes that create flexibility, promote fairness, and strengthen the relationship between farmers and processors.
Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak. Senate panel takes aim at ultra-processed foods and marketing.
A Senate hearing yesterday put a focus on ultra-processed foods as a possible cause behind the epidemics of type 2 diabetes and obesity. Ashley Gearhart, a University of Michigan professor of psychology, told the Senate Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions Committee that an analysis of 400,000 people found that every 10% increase in ultra-processed food intake is associated with a 12% increase in type 2 diabetes. She also said there are strong parallels between ultra-processed foods and addictive substances such as tobacco. An estimated 14% of adults and 12% of children meet the criteria for an addictive disorder based on their intake of ultra-processed foods. Lindsay Smith-Taley, an associate professor of nutrition at the University of North Carolina, said many food labeling designs suggested by FDA on front-of-label packaging are still confusing to consumers. Taley said, FDA needs to work closely with scientists to develop evidence-based labels that are easy to understand and clearly signals to consumers when products are unhealthy. APHIS extends comment period on biotech regulatory exemption plan. The USDA's Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service is reopening the comment period on a November 14 proposal to add 5 regulatory exemptions for plants with modifications that could be achieved through conventional breeding. The comment period was due to close today. APHIS said it's reopening it for 21 days. Biotech plant developers were generally happy with the proposal, but also took note of its complexity. FDA issues warning letters on misbranded antimicrobial animal drugs. FDA has issued 9 warning letters to manufacturers of antimicrobial animal drugs that are important in human medicine and have not been reviewed under FDA's regulatory process. The products in question, quote, are marketed and labeled for minor species such as aquarium fish and pet birds, FDA says. Companies receiving the letters include Chewy, California Veterinary Supply, Midland Veterinary Services, and Kraft Drug, among others. Tracy Forfa, the director of FDA's Center for Veterinary Medicine, says the unapproved drugs pose a twofold risk to public health. First, the products haven't been through the FDA drug review process. We don't know whether they're safe or effective or even contain what the label states. Second, inappropriate use of medically important antimicrobials contributes to the development of antimicrobial resistance, which affects both human and animal health. New guidance released on outdoor use of pesticides. EPA has released its final guidance for pesticide registrants on the types of analyses they need to conduct to comply with the Endangered Species Act. The agency says the information in the guidance, quote, is largely the same as that contained in the PREA 5 guidance for new active ingredients and registration review. The reason is that even though a new active ingredient application and new outdoor use application are different actions, the underlying ESA analysis are similar. Here's today's He Said It. This is a really irritating conversation because the problem is with Congress. That Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack, when asked on AgriPulse Newsmakers about complaints from lawmakers about the formula USDA used for prorating ad hoc disaster assistance for 2022. Well, that's Daybreak for this Friday, November 15th, brought to you by Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative.